Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from the sixth canto, chapter 18, and we're doing several verses. As Kasyapa is just about to be sucker punched. He thinks he's getting one thing, but he's going to find out he's in a real, as they say in America, he's in a pickle. He's in a tough spot. So I think we'll chant, because it's on the board, as requested. We'll do 37. Ditiruvacha varado yadi me brahman putra indra hanam vrine amrityum mrita putraham yena me gatita suta ditiruvacha varado yadi me brahman putram indra hanam vrine amrityum mrita putraham yena me gatitau sutau ditiruvacha varado yadi me brahman putram indra hanam vrine amrityum mrita putraham yena me gatitau sutau ditiruvacha varado yadi me brahman putram indra hanam vrine amrityum mrita putraham yena me gatitau sutau ditiruvacha. Diti said, varada, the giver of benedictions, yadi, if, me, to me, brahman, O great soul, putram, a son, indrahanam, who can kill Indra, vrine, I am asking for, amrityum, immortal, mritaputra, whose sons are dead, aham, I, yena, by whom, me, my, gatita, were caused to be killed, suta, two sons. Now to give us the mood of the thing, I'm going to read the text 35 English, text 36, and 37. My dear wife, this is Kasyapa, of course, speaking to Diti. My dear wife, whose body is so beautiful, your waist being thin. A conscientious wife should be chaste and should abide by the orders of her husband. She should very devotedly worship her husband as a representative of Vasudeva, which she's done. My dear wife, because of you worship me with great devotion, considering me a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I shall reward you by fulfilling your desires, which are unobtainable for an unchaste wife. So she's my dear pretty thing. You please me so much. You're such a devoted, faithful wife. Whatever you ask, I will now give you. So the door is swung wide open, and here it comes. Diti replied, O my husband, O great soul, I have now lost my sons. If you want to give me a benediction, I ask for you, from you, an immortal son who can kill Indra. I pray for this because Indra, with the help of Vishnu, has killed my two sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakasipu. Also, you say. Diti replied, O my husband, O great soul, I have now lost my sons. If you want to give me a benediction, I ask you for an immortal son. Here's the main point. Who can kill Indra? I pray for this because Indra, with the help of Vishnu, has killed my two sons, Hiranyaksha and her. You're enthusiastic. And Hiranyakasipu. And what's fair is fair, right? Even the score. He killed my sons, I'll kill his son. As they say in America, tit for tat. They must have a similar saying in India. Purport. The word Indrahanam means one who can kill Indra. But it also means one who follows Indra. The word Amrityum, Prabhupada's giving a hint of where this is going. Amrityum refers to the demigods, who do not die like ordinary human beings because they have extremely long duration of life. For example, the duration of Brahma's life is stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sahasra Yuga Parayantam Aharyad Brahma Novidu. Even the duration of one day or 12 hours of Brahma is 4,300,000 years multiplied by 1,000. Thus, the duration of his life is inconceivable for an ordinary human being. We think we're big stuff, but just like a little ant, you know, we consider it inconsequential. But that ant, he has his whole life, he has his whole reality, he has his whole society, he has his mission, he has his to-do list for the day. But what is his duration compared to ours? It's nothing, it's insignificant. And yet we think we are the measure of all things. Whatever I can see, smell, taste, touch, that's reality. If it's not subordinate to my senses, if I can't see, smell, taste, measure it, if I can't break it down into tiny pieces and control it, it doesn't exist. Why? If the ant said that, we'd think, what is this? And yet we say it and are completely convinced. The whole world is moving on this ethos. But we're just like ants compared to Brahma. We're insignificant. They say life on, we'll get to the main point in a minute. They say life on other planets. What do they always say? There's no other life on other planets, life as we know it. They all say it. Has to be carbon-based, has to be this, has to be that. Oh, there has to be water, otherwise there's no life. We didn't find water on Mars, can't be any life. Oh, maybe there was ice, maybe there was life. Why? Because that's what our life is based on? The whole? No. There's fire bodies, air bodies, ether bodies. It's not just magical thinking. You can go to the bottom of the Mariana Trench, in right off the coast of Japan. I don't know how deep it is. It's like some miles deep. No light, filled with methane gas, highly toxic. Fissures letting out the heat from 2,000 degrees coming from the center of the earth, the most intolerable place in the world, teeming with life, teeming with life. They live on methane, the different entities that live there. They live on poisonous gas. So why not other planets? But they're so arrogant and foolish in Kali Yuga. Oh no, everything's subordinate to me. So here we're getting a hint from the Bhagavatam that we're not such big stuff. Okay. Thus, the duration of Brahma's life is inconceivable for an ordinary human being. The demigods are therefore sometimes called Amara, which means one who has no death. In this material world, however, everyone has to die. Therefore, the word Amrityum indicates that Diti wanted a son who would be equal in status to the demigods. Omagena temarandasya gyana gena silakaya jokshu shun militan gena tazude shi gurave namaha. So, I took some. The Bhagavatam is real. It's news you can use. It is not for your grandmother, it is not for those armchair speculators. It is talking about universal principles. I was sitting in the room one day. One man said to Prabhupada, that why are we reading about Arjuna and Krishna? It's arcane. It was thousands of years ago. They're using, antique technology, bows and arrows. Of course, he didn't calculate Brahmastras, but, bows and arrows. No digital, no where their devices. What does it have to do with our modern world? Prabhupada said, what's changed? Time, the material nature, the living entities, karma, the supreme controller. What's changed? What do they say in the Bible? There's nothing new under the sun. So Bhagavatam is addressing the human condition. It's talking to us. It's giving us real practical principles. How this world is working. We're sailing along. There was a man the other day. I'm looking at the time factor. There's a man the other day. He was laughing at the devotees in the West. Actually, the world has changed. They're so much more respectful in the West than they used to be. But this, the world is, there's always fools, no shortage. They spice it. Hello there, young man. They spice things up. You going to stay there? Okay. You want to give class? Have a seat. I'll trade. Anyway, he was laughing at the devotees. Ha, 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 this. And he was looking. He walked past the devotees. It was on the other side of the street. He was laughing at the devotees. And, on one hand, I felt sorry for him. But he walked, bang, right into a pole, and he slid down. So, we're cruising through life, but we're being hit by so many things. Now, and animals, they just tolerate. That's the nature of animals. They just tolerate. But on one hand, tiksha, it's a good quality. We're meant to tolerate. But we're not meant to be just dull animals. We're meant to... Is there a solution? Is there an answer? At least we should ask the question. Prabhupada said one time, someone asked, why was Arjuna, he's an eternal associate of Krishna, how can it be put into illusion? Of course, we know the answer, so Bhagavad Gita could be spoken. But Prabhupada elaborated. He said, all of us in Kali Yuga, you're all great souls who've taken birth to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, but I can certainly speak for myself. We don't even know the right questions. Prabhupada said, what to speak of? Answers. We don't even know the right questions. So Arjuna was put in that position so that he could ask the right questions and Krishna could give the perfect answers. Perfect questions, perfect answers, Bhagavad Gita. So there are answers. Well, that was short. Till we meet again, young men. Hope he got some prasadam. So, news we can use. Active principles. I'm going to try in my own pedestrian way to pull out some of those principles. What's going on here? Not just, it's a fantastic story. Forget Shakespeare. You want adventure, romance, suspense, drama? Read the Bhagavatam. It's got it all. But, we're going to try to dig a little deeper. Although the storyline itself is fantastic. Picture Aditi. She softened him up. He's fallen for it completely. He's ready to give her whatever she wants, and she hits him right in the heart. The bow strikes. I want you to help me kill Indra. Give me a son who will kill Indra. It's a horrible thing, and he's stuck, as he promised. Even the deathless devas, because Prabhupada talks about the deathless devas, they've got trouble. Everybody's thinking, the man next to me, or the lady next to me, they've got it worked out. That's how the whole business of modern advertising works. That everybody else has got it. If I just buy XYZ, if I just push the material nature around, if I just adjust the conditions, I'm going to become happy. It's all it takes. Sishupal, 17 times, slap silly. His friend Somal, it was a quirk of fate. Is it Sishupal that everyone was killed on the battlefield? And he had to walk back. Even his horses were killed. Prabhupada says, unprecedented in the history of military science. 17 times. Don't worry. You'll get it the 13th time. You'll get it the 14th time. You'll get it the 15th time. We're all thinking like that. Well, I struck out last time. But, if I just get a new wife. If I just go to a new place. If I just try to jump from a different angle, like the sour grapes and the fox. I'll get it this time. We're all going on like that. But the point is that we should step back and say, wait a minute. I'm trying to the best of my ability, and it's not working out. I mean, rather, Giriraj Maharaj said one time, I'm 64 years old, and I've been hit with various ailments. Time and tide wait for no one. So I have been accosted by these things. Giriraj Maharaj said that he feels like a tube of toothpaste. You squeeze all the toothpaste out. He said, all the prana's been squeezed out, you know? So that's welcome to old age. That's what it's like, you know? But I was young and fresh. I had a whole head full of bright ideas. I had energy. But where did it get me? Here I, of course, I'm by Krishna's grace. I'm here in Vrindavan. But in principle, I'm an old man. So it's all gone. I can't do it anymore. So if I can't do it, although that's the hope of hopes, next time I'll get it. Next time it'll work out. New arrangement. But the devas, they have so much more facility. If they can't do it, what's the intelligent conclusion? Become a deva and try myself? Like the bumper sticker, those who say money can't buy happiness don't know where to shop. So let me just become a deva and then I'll do it? Is that the intelligent conclusion? What's the intelligent conclusion? Help me out. If the devas can't do it, with lifetimes inconceivable, facilities inconceivable, knows powerful senses, huge intelligence, they're full of anxiety. What should I conclude if I'm an intelligent person? They just don't know how to do it right? Give me that facility and I'll do it. Help me out here. What's the intelligent conclusion? Some of the ladies. Are you in a sari? I'm joking. Do any of the ladies, what is the intelligent conclusion? If the devas are failing, what's the intelligent conclusion? It's so obvious nobody answers. The conclusion is, why even try? Why even try for that? I'm never going to get it. It's not going to work. The material nature, everyone is conquered. Nobody wins. First thing was Shukadev, one of the first things one of the devotees said to me. You think I'm arrogant now? Should have seen me in the past. As I went on, you know, the devotees were saying this world's full of suffering. I said, well, maybe for you. I'm skating happy. I got it. I'm kissed by the gods. I got whatever I want. Devotee said, you know, there's one problem. I said, maybe for you. He said, nobody gets out of here alive. Whoop, well, that blows a hole in my plan. So, that's one point. We should take a hint. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that the material world is the dictionary for the spirit. It's right in front of our faces. A pack of cigarettes. It says on the cigarettes, if you smoke this, you will drop dead. Well, doesn't mean me. Off they go, you know? So, I mean, we do so many stupid things. Intoxication. What is the root of the word intoxication? Toxic. What does toxic mean?
Poison.
Not to me. So the material nature says it right in our face. But we don't see it. So we should learn by even the demigods. We see your Kasyapa. He's in big anxiety. Diti's in big anxiety. Indra's in big anxiety. These are all big personalities. They're all riddled with anxiety. They're all making a plan. They're all cooking up a plan. Well, they're going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and you know, if I give her this, she's going to satisfy me in this way. So Kasyapa's got his plan. Ditti's thinking, hey, I'm going to get this guy. You know, like this guy. You know, she's respectful, of course, but I'm going to seduce my husband. He's going to give me what I want. I'm going to kill Indra. I'll feel so much better. I'm going to get what I want. Indra's thinking, whoa, wait a minute. I'm going to disguise myself and I'm going to trick you. I'm going to get what I want. Everybody's got a plan. They all got great plans. None of them work out. Read the story. Follow the storyline. Not a single one of their plans worked out as planned. Now, it has a happy ending. Does not that thing therapeutically treated become the cure of the self-same disease? But we'll get there in a minute. So, it also serves this setup for the thing as a cautionary tale. The men should not walk away from this class. Oh, that seductive, evil woman who distracted Kasyapa from his path. The men should not feel vindicated and holier than thou. Jai Shishi. Krishna Balaram Gonataya. Neither should the women think, I'm a vile creature. I am the, you know, deluding potency of the material nature. And, you know, what is my hope? That's not the message here. It's not the message. But it's talking about a principle. What is that principle? We see that you men are very good. Prabhupada gives the classic example of butter and fire. Do we like butter? Yeah, there's an enthusiastic young man. It's probably the reason I got diabetes. I love butter. Bring it on, you know? So butter is a very nice... Butter gives ghee. Let's talk on a higher plane. From butter, you can make ghee. From ghee, swaha. Butter is a fantastic thing. Fantastic. Fire. Where will we be without fire? Are we anti-fire? Do we have any Eskimos here? Do the Eskimos have fire? I need a factician. Do we have a factician here? Somebody can Google it. I don't know. Do the Eskimos have fire? I think they must. Huh? An affirmation? Do we have an Eskimo in the crowd? No, no, we're okay. We'll assume that they have fire. So, fire is essential. It's same thing. What is the use of the ghee, of the butter, if you don't have the fire? Swaha. What does it say, like offering ghee on the ashes? You have to have the fire. So we like fire. We like butter. But the combination, then you have difficulty. Like a man is good. Butter is good. Fire, woman, fire is good. But the combination, without restriction, creates all kinds of problems. I could give a hot sannyasi, you know, let it rip. I could go on for hours, you know. But that's not my mission here. But it's a cautionary tale. And therefore, we should appreciate Vedic culture. Vedic culture is not misogynist. It's not repressive. It's not niyamagraha. It's not absorbed in, you know, how many rules and rituals, you know, pull your ears, stand here, bow here, do this, fast this. That's not what we're talking about. It is not blind rules and regulations. It understands the problems of this world. Beginning of Bhagavad Gita. What does Krishna do with Arjuna? He calls him a fool, but even before he calls him a fool, and they put aside friendly talks, and they become Sishya, disciple, and guru. Okay, fine. But even before that, what does Krishna point out on the battlefield? The two sides are facing. What does Krishna do for Arjuna? If you get the wrong answer, you still get prasadam. Don't be shy. We're all friends here. What happened? Somebody take a guess. We don't mind a guess. Huh? He pointed out where the enemies are. He said, here's this one, here's that one, here's the mighty this. He told them all of his obstacles. He laid out the obstacles. Yeah, here's what you're facing. So Vedic culture knows our predicament. Hey, you're a human being. You want to find a real solution to the problems of life, which are birth, death, disease, and old age. You want to progress. Prabhupada said, oh, we've made so much progress in life. They present, oh, the West, we've made so much progress. Of course, India's now speeding up, but India's, you know, what do you call, undeveloped third world. America's, the West is, you know, we've made so much progress. Prabhupada said, your progress is like a moth into the flames. A moth into the flames. You're making advancement, but in what direction? Where are you going? So Vedic culture knows what our real problems are. And they're laying out an active principle that we can see. It's a cautionary tale. Bhagavatam is full of cautionary tales. If you do A, you will get B. You don't want B, then what? If I do A, I will get B. I don't want B. Then what do I need to do? A, thank you. Don't do A. I mean, that's a basic axiomatic truth. Kasyapa did something. Man, I wish I didn't do that. Ditti's also going to become remorseful at the end. Why did I do that? Indra's like, oh, why did... So everyone is in a tough spot. This whole world is a tough spot. If you have coal, Prabhupada's example. If I have coal, if coal is hot, what will it do if I touch it? It'll burn me. Well, then no problem. Just get coal that's cold. What happens if you handle cold coal? Huh? Everything's black. So either way, whether it's hot, whether it's cold, it burns or it blackens. That's this material nature. That's the way it is. It's full of miseries caused by other living entities, miseries caused by the mind and body. What have I forgotten? Miseries caused by other living entities. I said miseries, other living entities. You got it. Threefold miseries. Okay. If not, I'm sure that you'll experience a menu of them throughout the day today, in the next 24 hours. So the point is, Vedic society is a roadmap. It says, here's the dangers. You want to get here? You want to become free from anxiety? You want to become free from birth, death, disease, and old age? You want unlimited happiness? You want to solve all the problems in life? Here's how you get there. You know, you got to leave this world. It's like coal. Hot or cold, that's the nature of the place. You're going to get burned, you're going to get dirty, you're going to get contaminated. You got to get out of this place. There's no other answer. And then it lays, here's the things that are entangling you. So one of the things that entangles us is this attachment for men for women and women for men. It's not a judgmental statement. It's not motivated. It's the facts of life. It's like a law of gravity. It's just the way it... I don't like gravity. Hey, I think it's oppressive against the earth. I think it's discriminatory. Why can't everything float? I don't believe in gravity. I don't accept it. Okay, fine, Mr. Magoo. Walk out a window and see how that works for you. You know, it's just the way it is. So one disregards the Vedic society. This is my controversial point. I'll hear about it, I know. But one disregards Vedic society, Vedic culture, Vedic structure. It knows the problems. It tells us how to compensate, how it is structured to minimize, to work around, to help us overcome those inherent problems. And one of them is attachment for men for women and women for men. It's equal, you know, it's an equal opportunity abuser. We disregard the principles of Vedic culture at our own risk. It's a law of nature, and we disregard it at our own risk. Devotees said to Prabhupada, but Prabhupada, you know, we're engaged in devotional service. We're transcendental. We don't need to follow Vedic tradition, Vedic culture, Varnashram Dharma. We don't need it. You know what Prabhupada's classic answer was? Then why are you falling down? If that's working out so well for you, why are so many falling down? So it's, again, not discriminatory. Butter's good, fire's good, men are good, women are good. Understand the active principle, follow Vedic principles, it'll help us cross the road to the goal we want to go. It's not discriminatory, it's intelligent. Okay, I've done my work there. I'll hear about it. Plans go astray. What is it? Prabhupada quoted Shakespeare sometimes, different English poets. What a tangled web. What am I thinking? The best laid plans of mice and men do oft go astray. We make so many plans. What could go wrong? Well, about 350 things you haven't thought about. It's called the law of unintended consequences. It's another active principle of this world. There was a farmer one time. It's a Chinese parable. One day, his horse ran away, escaped. All of his friends said, "Oh, this is very, very bad. Very bad. You've lost your horse. Very, very bad." Farmer said, "Maybe bad, maybe good. Let's see." Lo and behold, few days later, the horse, you know, attachment for men and women, he met a lady horse in the forest, a wild horse, brought her back. Hey, all of a sudden the farmer has two horses. Very good. His neighbors say, "Hey, way to go." Farmer's a little thoughtful, looking down the road, unintended consequences. Maybe good, maybe bad. So his son got on the horse to try to break the horse so you could saddle it and use it, right? Turn it into a workhorse or a riding horse. So a wild horse, you get on a wild horse, what happens? Try to control the mind. Yeah, it goes wild. The mind's fine as long as we do whatever it wants. No problem. As soon as you try to put a bridle on it, oh, then you see the real nature of the mind. So the young man gets on the horse, thrown off the horse, he breaks his leg. Oh, all the friends, very, very bad. Very, very bad. Our friend farmer, our thoughtful farmer, said, "Well, maybe good, maybe bad." Next day, the king's army comes through. King's going off to war. They're drafting all the young men into the army to go and fight. They'll probably be killed. They're cannon fodder. Off they go. The young man has a broken leg. They can't take him. His friends say, "Oh, very, very good." So it goes on like this, you know, good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. But we don't know the law of unintended consequences. Kasyapa thought he had a great plan. He was just about to enjoy. Diti thinks she's got a great plan. Indra thinks he's got a great plan. The Maruts, they got a plan. Everybody's got a plan. So what does that mean about our plans? Everybody's got plans. Now, we're going to talk about a minute, the right kind of plan. That's another thing. But all of our plans, they're not going to succeed. It's a law of the material nature. And even you get it, even more painful. Like there's a second, I think it's Shakespeare, I don't know, better to have loved than lost, better to have loved than lost than never to have loved at all. Not necessarily. Look at Romeo and Juliet. You know, a broken heart, people never recover sometimes from a broken heart. So this material, to have it and lose it, one who's been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So to get it, we have a plan, we get it, but the material nature is going to take it away. Inevitably. You're on your deathbed. "Oh, doc, give me 6 more months. No. You're going to lose it. You're going to watch it go. That's even more painful. So, as we see here, another principle, that nothing works out. Everything's going to be lost in due course materially. So what do we do with our time? Let me ask you a question. This works well for impersonalists who say Krishna has no form, so that you can use this. I'm not copyrighted, no commission required. Everybody focused? Are you with me? Okay, focused. This is a thought exercise. Okay, get your minds peaceful. Don't think about the color red. Don't think about the color red. How's that working out for you? It's okay? Immediately, red, 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 you know? You can't stop thinking about it. So, human beings make plans. Does not that thing therapeutically treated become the cure of the self-same disease? So, what kind of plans? Make plans, but what kind of plans? That should be intelligent. So, we're going to get to a concluding theme in a moment. If you've read, as I'm sure many of you have, how this goes, what happens is Indra goes inside the womb of the Maruts. If she makes one mistake in the vow, Kasyapa is a devotee. That's what I want to say. Kasyapa is a devotee. Indra's also a devotee. They're all devotees of sorts. But Kasyapa, seeing himself in a tough spot, He's been asked to do something that's going to wreak havoc in the universe. Heavy karmic reaction for him. No one's going to be happy as the result of the thing. But he's given his word. How can he get out of it? He's in a real tough spot. What does he do? Everybody else made a calculating plan. What did Kasyapa do? Prayed to Krishna. He inserted Krishna into the formula. He said he thought, let me engage her in Krishna's service, in devotional service, by that vrata, that vow she took. Let her engage her in the worship of Krishna. She'll become purified, hopefully, and Krishna will modify, rectify everything. So as soon as you add the Krishna factor, what does Krishna want? How can I please Krishna? Let me introduce devotional service. Let me make that my plan. What happened? What was the end result of the thing? I mean, everybody's going downhill fast. Everybody can see. They have a saying in America, you know, when you're in a dangerous position, tough spot, let me see the light at the end of the tunnel. You ever heard that saying? There's hope. There's light at the end of the tunnel. A friend of mine said, that light at the end of the tunnel, you know what it really is? It's the train coming at you. That's what's actually happening in this material world. So they're all looking at the train coming at them. Dithi's going to lose. Indra's going to lose. Kasyapa's going to lose. The entity in the womb is going to lose. Everybody's going to lose. They're going off the cliff. Add the factor of devotional service. Add the factor of Krishna. The whole thing is transformed. What happens? She makes a mistake. Indra goes in the womb, cuts the maruts, the entities into 49 pieces. Krishna goes in the womb, saves all those pieces. Dithi becomes purified. She becomes a devotee. She becomes purified. Indra and Dithi become friends. The maruts, the embryo is saved. They become 49 brothers. They all work out fine. And Kasyapa is off the hook. He's saved from what would have been a most sinful act. Everybody benefits. Going off the cliff, add the Krishna factor, everybody benefits. It's clear. So again, it's a instructive principle for us. Make whatever plan you like, it's not going to work out. And even you get it, it's going to be taken away from you, which is even more painful. So instead of, like, don't think about the color red, make a plan. But make a plan how to please Krishna. How to advance in devotional service. Make that kind of plan. And let's see. Same example. Just to nail it home. Hiranyakasipu. Bhagavatam does this all the time. It's fantastic. It's one of the basic principles of storytelling. And they're not stories. They're facts. You've got Hiranyakasipu and Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is a five-year-old boy, an innocent boy. A woman's weapon is tears. What is it? A man's weapon is knowledge. An old man's weapon is knowledge. And a child's weapon is innocent. He's a little boy. We don't have any 5 years old in the crowd, right? Otherwise they'd be crying. So, five-year-old boy. And then you've got Hiranyakasipu. He raises his eyebrows, and all the devas are terrified. Now, in a confrontation, who are you going to bet on? In addition to that, he's got an ironclad contract from Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe. He won't die in daytime and nighttime, inside, outside, on a living or dead. You've got the whole, not an animal or a beast. He's got a whole, every single... I was reading the other day, obligatory, the insurance policy for the Los Angeles Temple. It's a long story. I mean, it had everything in there. Floods, natural disasters, acts of God, they call it, you know, nuclear blast. If there's a nuclear blast, the LA insurance policy, we cannot collect. I mean, where are you going to find the claims office? I mean, there's other issues going on, you know? So, Hiranyakasipu had every possible clause in the, you know, plus, he was the most powerful entity in the universe. So that's like in a boxing ring in this corner, you know, clad in gold, Hiranyakasipu. And in, over here is sweet little Prahlad. Who are you going to bet on materially? Who are you going to bet on? And yet, Prahlad had, Hiranyakasipu had so many plans which he executed, and they all failed ultimately. He could not kill Prahlad. Prahlad had one plan, just surrender to Krishna. Whatever Krishna wants to do, he was offered poison, Prabhupada says. Now he's a devotee. He offered whatever he was given to Krishna, and the poison was removed. He ate it, no problem. So one thing, surrender to Krishna. Depend on Krishna. Everything worked out. So if we're, I'm speaking to myself, don't worry. If we're intelligent, just surrender to Krishna. Just make a plan to please Krishna. Put all the other plans aside. Now, I think in conclusion, now, you know, we can operate on many different planes, many different angles of vision. What is it? Anamoya, pranamoya, gyanamoya, vijnanamoya. There's all kinds of levels of experience of the living entity. Some living entities, if they just fill their belly, that's perfection. Some, they become philosophers and speculators. So there's all different levels of experience of dealing with this world. Like a bird flies in the sky according to its ability. Aditi, on her plane of existence or reality, her perception, her goals, she wanted what at the beginning of this thing? What did she want? Who said revenge? Way to go. She wanted revenge. You did this. You know, I think it's an Armenian curse that I want to dance on your ashes. I want to see you reduced to the position that I can dance on your ashes. Then I'll be happy. And I don't know who says it. It's not enough to succeed, but the perfect material formula is you have to see your enemies fail. You succeed, okay. But if they succeed also, ah. But if they fail, and you can dance on their ashes, if you can drive by in your Rolls Royce and splash mud on them as they're out there selling some, you know, used shoes on the street corner, hey, then you got the right formula. So she wanted revenge. Kasyapa just wanted out of a jam. Indra wanted to save his own skin. So they're all calculated. They all have a certain level of calculation. But this is something I really want to try to express to you. And, you know, it works for me. Hopefully it'll work for you. Anybody here ever have their plans not work out? Raise your hand. Huh? I'll raise both hands. No problem, you know. All my 10 toes as well, you know. And we become angry. We become bitter. We become morose. We become despondent. All kinds of things. Ignorance and passion. But what are the five factors of action? What is the last factor in Bhagavad Gita, the five factors of action that determine a result? There's the time, the place, the doer, there's so many things. What does Krishna add as the fifth and final determining factor? Which is the essential factor, actually. Supersoul, Krishna. Krishna is the final determining factor. In Sanskrit, we say things happen by accident. It happened by accident. It happened by chance. There's no such word in Sanskrit. The word they use is called adristya, which means you don't see it. Like darshan, it has the same root word. There's a cause. We just don't see it. Just because we don't, I don't know what's happening on the other side of this wall. I don't know what's happening. So many things I don't see. You know, I'm looking this way. You know, we're coming from America, from the West, and you know where the traffic's usually going on this side. So I'll look carefully. Oh, nothing coming. I'm conditioned that way. I'll step out. Zoom! 15 motorcycles almost run me over. You know? Oh, didn't see that coming. There's so many things we don't see. So because we don't see the cause does not mean there is no cause. You follow? It's like bank robbers drink milk. Therefore, milk causes bank robbers. Every bank robber I know drinks milk. Watch out for that milk. It turned into bank robber. No, they're not related. It's not, the logical is not seamless. It's not connective. It's not causal. It's not sequential. So just because we don't see the cause does not mean there is no cause. There is a cause. We just don't see it. Now, the ultimate cause for all things is Krishna. And Krishna doesn't play favorites. On one hand, he's equal to all, right? Right? Krishna's equal to all. But he's especially pleased and favorable and gives special protection to his devotees. Prabhupada said it's a natural. A good man, he may give in charity, he might start so many orphanages. He loves all children. But he has a special love for his own children. In the same way, Krishna has a special love for his devotees. Prabhupada says in Nectar Devotion, we call out once, Hey Govinda, save me, Hey Govinda. Prabhupada says, even we forget. Krishna doesn't forget. Sri Upanishad, even I may forget you, please don't forget me. Prabhupada says, the son forgets the father. What? The old buzzard, what does he know? But the good father never forgets the son. He's always the well-wisher of the son. So if there's a cause to all events, and if our plan did not work out the way we wanted it, if we're calculating, oh, we want revenge, oh, I want this, oh, I want that, so many things, we're missing the point. We've got to factor in all the factors. Krishna is doing something. Michelangelo, the famous artist, he was sitting there looking at a big block of marble, and he was just meditating on it. And his friend on a lower level was saying, hey, come on, start whacking, get going, make a drawing. He said, what are you doing? Michelangelo said, it's in there. La Pietra or whatever it is, David, whatever, it's in there. The statue's in there. I'm just thinking about how to remove everything that I don't need. You follow? He could see it. It was just a matter of, in his mind, it was just a matter of knocking away what didn't belong. He just knocked it all away, and there it was, because he could see it within his mind. In the same way, Krishna sees us. We are pure spirit soul, Satchit Ananda. Let me go esoteric, it's Vrindavan. Krishna knows our position in the spiritual world. He knows where we belong. Now, what does he have to do? He has to knock away, he has to chip away, Prabhupada calls it the routing factor within the heart. He has to knock away those things that are blocking us, that are keeping us from being our better, real self. And that's what's going on in this world for devotees. We're not getting what we want. Well, where's God? Where's Krishna? He's right in front of us. He's doing his work. He's doing his carving business. He's pulling us out of this material world. He's cleaning all of our anartas. Who was it? What is his name? St. Anthony. I think it's St. Anthony. Maybe St. Augustine. I can't remember. Anyway, he's a young man. He was a prince. Very wealthy, very handsome. But he was moral. So he said, God, give me celibacy. Just not yet. You follow? He knew where he should go. That Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, those who worship me understand these principles with intelligence. They're not envious. Even they're not able to practice, they appreciate. So we know where we want to go, but we don't want to do the heavy lifting to get there. And it's painful. It's hard work giving up attachments. But if we know, I saw a signboard, we'll end in a few minutes. I saw a signboard out in front of a Christian church. And it said, I don't know, I think it's some hymnal or something. Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Anyone know? They can hum a few bars. We got any Baptists here with us? Oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a friend we have in Krishna. And our spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. Diksha and Shiksha Gurus. Oh, what friends we have. And they're helping us carve away, not our material plans, not this failed mind, not the senses, not Sishupal, no, I mean Jarasandha, not Jarasandha who's been wrong 17 times, not our mind who's been wrong ad infinitum times. Let me just surrender to Krishna's plan. Let Krishna work away my anartas. Let him hone out and bring forth my better self. And if we know that's what's going on, then we're not bitter. Then we're not remorseful. We feel reassured. Yes, Krishna's pulling me towards him. Krishna's pulling me out of this material world. Therefore, there's no anxiety, there's no anger, there's no regret, there's no remorse, there's no desire for revenge. Bring it on. I mean, it's a brave prayer. I have it in my saner moments. Bring it on, Krishna. So that's the kind of plan we should make. And we'll end here. I did want to say one last thing, one last controversial point. Because we're here in Vrindavan, and we see there are those people, those devotees, who are always looking for something secret. Let me find something higher. You know, ISKCON's the blue-collar wing of Vaishnavism. You know, they're all working hard. Let me find, you know, where's that esoteric mantra? Where's that, Radhakund Babaji who's going to reveal the higher truth? Where is it, you know? Let me find that secret thing. You run along with your hardcore work, you know, but I'm going to advance and find that secret thing. Confidential. You ever hear this? Occasionally. Usually comes with the beard. Anyway, I don't want to get into it. I don't want to offend anybody. Beards in them themselves are not bad. But Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, starts at verse 68, I think, but right around there. He talks about Guhyam. He says to Arjuna, now you've understood Gita, let me tell you of everything I've said. He uses the word Guhyam. Let me give you that secret, that confidential, Gupta, that hidden thing. What is that hidden thing? One who explains this truth, this science of devotion to the innocent. He goes beyond. He says to the devotees, and Prabhupada explains in the purport, actually it means in addition to the innocent, the one who takes that risk, one who goes out and preaches. Let me be even more controversial. One who puts their shoulder to the wheel of Prabhupada's movement. One who makes a plan. How can I spread Krishna consciousness? How can I serve Srila Prabhupada and his mission? Dare I say it? How can I serve his ISKCON? Let me make that plan. Let me put aside all of my other plans. Let me please Krishna. Let me accept Krishna working within my heart. And let me make my plans how to push his movement forward. How to deliver the message of Krishna. That I will jump head and shoulders. Quantum leap beyond the Radhakund Babaji's, beyond the esoteric, you know, secret mantra, dressing up like a peacock. Meor, meor. I know my Siddha Pranali. Forget it. Beyond all of that, Krishna asserts, your devotional service is guaranteed, you become the most dear to me, no one will be more dear to me, and you come back to me. What's not to love in that statement? Everything we want rolled into one ball, and the secret is, put your shoulder to the wheel of pushing forward Krishna's movement. Okay. Thank you for sitting so patiently. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. And now it's time for prasadam. Such a nice movement. Okay, we're done. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Bhaja Narayan Swami Ki.
I accept this holiness on one condition. In the English spelling of the word, I'm full of holes. I have so many anartas. In this way, I can accept His Holiness. Yes, your statement is correct. Thank you.